Okay, I'd like to call this afternoon session to order of the Goleta City Council. If you all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, roll call.
Councilmember Aceves.
Here.
Councilmember Bennett.
Here.
Councilmember Richards.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan is absent. Mayor Perotti.
Here. Okay, report from closed session.
Thank you, Mayor. So on today's council agenda, we have a closed session at the conclusion of the public portion of the meeting that includes two items. One of those items, the conference with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation, was actually accelerated to a special meeting that was held yesterday. Closed session was called as a special meeting, and it was conducted by the council from noon to approximately 1 o'clock, and those two items were handled at that time. So they will not be handled today. So today's closed session at the conclusion of this meeting will be limited to the first item, the litigation item that's listed. As for yesterday's closed session, there was no reportable action taken by the City Council at the conclusion of the closed session. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. At this time, what I'd like to do is make an announcement that with Council's concurrence, I'm going to reschedule tomorrow's special workshop. Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan is unable to be here today or tomorrow due to an emergency, non-life-threatening medical emergency. And it's very important, the discussion that we will be having tomorrow is very important to all five of us being part of that. So I'd like to reschedule that. And we all wish Stuart a speedy recovery and get back here. We need him. Okay, moving on.
Got to put us on public forum.
At this time, we will have public forum. Anybody that wishes to speak to anything that's not on our agenda. And I do have a speaker slip from Lee Moldover. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, Council members. I'm Lee Moldover, this time on behalf of the Coastal Resource Center. 2 Mondays ago, right about this time, we were meeting with a pretty diverse group of people, and one of them, whom I've known for about 20 years and respect tremendously, leaned across the table and said, "You know, I really don't know very clearly what's happening with coastal issues in this area or what the Coastal Resource Center is doing about it." And at first I thought, well, perhaps having a bad day, but then I thought, with the way that the news media has changed in terms of reporting on local issues, perhaps I could just explain and share with the council some of the things that were happening the week of that meeting. For instance, just before the meeting, there was a world-class oceanographer presenting at the Bren School on how to track how climate change is affecting ocean waters around the world. On Wednesday, at lunchtime, there was a former protege of Margaret Connell's husband, Joe, actually presenting at the National Center for Ecological Analysis and Synthesis on the Ocean Health Index, where they're trying to get objective, quantifiable standards in 11 different areas in which ocean waters affect communities all around the world. So it would be apples to apples. That evening, we were at UCSB, where the Coastal Fund and the Gaviota Coast Conservancy were promoting the first screening on campus of Gaviota, end of Southern California, by Shaw Leonard. You may have heard that that won the special jury prize last fall at the Monterey Film Festival. The following day, on Thursday, we were at the conservation meeting for the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary, which was downtown, with members of the Coast Guard, Navy, and Defense Department phoning in. And they were talking about tankers and freighters in the channel, which not only hit whales, but account for about 40% of the smog inventory that local businesses get regulated on. That evening, we were hosting Professor Ed Keller from UCSB at the Faulkner Gallery, talking about some lessons about local geology and how water from the mountains moves to the ocean had a big impact on the debris flow in Montecito earlier this month. And special thanks to moderator Jeff Green for giving me a few minutes to present. On Friday, we spent the whole day with the Channel Islands National Marine Sanctuary National Advisory Committee. And rather than talk about the technical things, I think the human element of the coastline, with Diane Black stepping down as a founding member to become the Director of Planning Development, or Captain Bacon explaining how he sells bait and tackle for fishing off of the Goleta Pier to subsistence families. There's so much going on, and it's so exciting. I want people to be proud of what's happening on the coast, and I want them to feel that the Coastal Center is working for them. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing that information with all of us.
Okay. I had one question, like I asked, not to leave, but getting back to tomorrow's meeting, is it canceled? You said rescheduled. Is it rescheduled to a date? Because we've gotten emails. People are interested in the meeting.
We don't have a date for the rescheduled meeting, but we're looking at that to make sure we can find a date that works for all five council members. So we're not rescheduling to a date certain, okay, but we're canceling, and we will schedule the workshop when we know what date will work.
Okay, so we'll send a notice out that tomorrow's meeting has been canceled.
Yes, staff will be doing that.
I just want a clarification, because we did get some emails of people had interest in the meeting.
Yes, and the individuals who submitted public comment will be contacted directly.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, amendments and adjustments, City Manager.
Madam Mayor, we do have an amendment to discuss. It's for item A1, the City Council meeting minutes. In front of you are two pages with corrections, which are highlighted in yellow. So we just wanted to draw that to your attention. These minutes have been corrected and then posted on the website. And that's all we have.
Thank you. Okay. Moving forward.
The consent calendar. Item A1, approval of the City Council meeting minutes of December 5, 2017, the City Council meeting minutes of December 19, 2017, and the City Council meeting minutes of January 16, 2018. Item A2, amendment to the City of Goleta schedule of authorized positions and salary schedule and classification plan for fiscal year 2017-18 and 2018-19. And item A3, Ward Drive Class 2 bike lanes project notice of completion.
Before we go on to the consent calendar, we do have a presentation, and I think we need to move forward with the presentation first. But thank you for that.
My apologies. Okay. Employee Service Title, Claudia Dado, Senior Project Manager.
Okay. Vito Adamitis, are you going to come up and say a few words first before we present her with her tile?
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor and members of the City Council. We're here today to congratulate and bid farewell to a longstanding employee of the City of Goleta, known to all of you, Ms. Claudia Dado, our Senior Project Manager in the Neighborhood Services Department. In the almost 10 years that Claudia has been with us, she has worked on so many projects and so many programs, notably Fire Station 10, Hollister Kellogg Park, the Civic Center Feasibility Studies, the CDBG program, the acquisitions of open space in the Elwood area. She has contributed so many positive outcomes and so many successful outcomes to the city that they're too numerous for me to recount here for you today. But I do want to publicly honor Claudia for the incredible work effort she has put in here at the city for the last, almost 10 years. She started in October of 2008. And her retirement is effective Monday, February 12th, which happens to be her birthday. And also my birthday, one that I'll be remembering for a long time. But it has been a true joy and privilege to have Claudia on our staff, and she has just been such a consummate professional to work with over all these years. She will sorely be missed sorely by all of us, and it has just been a real privilege and honor to work with you, and I just want to thank you on behalf of all of our staff for the incredible work effort you have done. You should be very proud of your service to the city. And I know the council, I'm certain the council feels the same way with all the things that she has supported you on. And I'm going to try not to cry, just so you know. But Claudia has just been an incredibly capable and professional member of our staff, that it's a true honor to thank her publicly for her service.
Well, before I let Claudia say a few words, I have the honor of presenting you with your tile from the city of Goleta for your dedication over the years, and I'm honored to be the one that can give you this tile. Claudia and I have worked together on several projects over the years, and I really respect your work ethic and how organized you are, and I know the CDBG and community development block grants and the city grants are never really easy, but you have the calm presence to pull it all together, because we're kind of all over the chart because we want to give money to everybody and it's just not enough. So I just thank you for that, and I know, and I'm not going to cry because I usually the one that cries, but I'm not going to cry because I know you are a Goleta resident and you are going to stay engaged, and we're going to see you right here telling us what we're doing right or wrong, and maybe we'll even get you on some committees. So this is not goodbye, it's just good luck in your next journey. So I'd like to present this to you. And then give you a hug if I can.
Yeah, I absolutely.
But I think there might be a photo op. Mallory's that. Yes.
Get Vito in.
So let Vito get in here.
All right.
Thank you.
I know Claudia may want to say a few words, and I know some of our staff may want to say a few things, and I also think that our city manager, Michelle Green, would like to say a few things. So with that.
I don't know if I can handle all these good words, but I really want to express my appreciation to particularly Vito, but Michelle and the city council, all of our wonderful staff that I've worked with over the years. Just to remind you folks, you have an amazing staff of really dedicated public servants who work very hard for you every day, and will continue to do so. But as the mayor said, and Vito, I am a Goleta resident, so I will be here from time to time and would love to serve on a city board or commission. So again, it's been my honor to work for the city for these past years. I hope that I've made a positive difference and, you know, left the city a little better off for my having been here. And I've made it clear with some of my coworkers that they need to carry on some of my missions, which one of them was to acquire the open space parcels adjacent to Elwood Mesa and do grant fund writing for that. So thank you very much. I really appreciate everything.
Councilmember Bennett, I see your light on.
I don't want to steal the thunder because I heard there may be some other folks that want to say some things too. But and you've done so much, but I'll just limit my comments to the fire station because you and I have been intimately involved in that since you were reassigned that responsibility some number of years ago. And I know that you know, but a lot of people don't know, that that particular area for a fire station was actually designated back in 1967. We're a little beyond 1967, but we're much closer today than ever before of having that facility go forward. So I know that it really wouldn't be where we're at if it hadn't been for your efforts and your unique background and your planning background and so on to move the project forward. So I just really want to offer up thank you so very, very much. And the citizens will clearly benefit from this additional safety facility in the future, and it is not that far away to be a reality. So anyway, I'm inviting you ahead of time to the ribbon cutting when that occurs, and we'll look forward to your participation in that. So again, just thank you so much.
Councilmember Seves.
I was sitting here trying to think of what thing stands out. And, you know, we worked on the CDBG together for so many years. And the one thing that we never knew is how much money we're going to get. So you would constantly get the emails. You're on top of it. You give your best guess. And they're all always pretty accurate. But it didn't bother you. It bothered us because we had to have more meetings trying to figure out how we're going to make the adjustments. But you took it like a true professional and trying to deal with the federal government when they're giving allocations and even they don't know how much it's going to be. Staying on top of it is a monumental task, and you did a great job with that. So I appreciate that.
Ms. Green.
Madam Mayor, council members, but most importantly, Claudia, it has been wonderful to get to know you over the years and to work with you closely on many things. I've always really admired your ability to get to the heart of an issue, to develop a great analysis, strong recommendations that were always recommendations that put the community's interest first. You really care about this community, and that has made a huge difference. You've been a wonderful, special person to work with, and I've enjoyed getting to know your family as well, and I'm really excited for you in your future endeavors. And I know you'll continue to make your mark on our community here and the region, so wish you all the luck and enjoy this next adventure to the fullest, and please keep us up to date on how you're doing. We'll miss you a lot.
Thank you all. I appreciate it so much.
Thank you. Mr. Valdez.
Madam Mayor, Mayors, and Council, just quickly, obviously a lot has been said about Claudia, her work ethic, her dedication. But I wanted to talk a little bit more to the personal side. She's become a very, very good friend of mine and a friend to our family. Most of all, it's amazing how thoughtful she is. We talk about it in an analysis and going over reports and all that, but she's equally as thoughtful when it comes to her personal life. So I wanted to make sure that was said. And lastly, just it's an amazing thing to have someone with such a varied background to provide so many resources. It's amazing. I can't remember the number of times I've posed a question and she cited, you know, a CEQA reference or some obscure reference and saved me a couple of hours, you know, searching online. So obviously that's one small memory I have, but there are many where Claudia was just able to take something that seemed kind of difficult and somehow made it a little less difficult. So for that, I'm very grateful. And obviously wish you the best with you and your family and your new chapter. So congrats.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Consent calendar. Item A1, approval of the City Council meeting minutes of December 5, 2017, the City Council meeting minutes of December 19, 2017. And the City Council meeting minutes of January 16, 2018. Item A2, amendment to the City of Goleta schedule of authorized positions and salary schedule and classification plan for fiscal year 2017-18 and 2018-19. And item A3, Ward Drive Class 2 bike lanes project notice of completion.
Council, wish to pull any item from consent?
Move approval.
I would second that with the corrected December 19th minutes.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the ayes have it.
That brings us to item B1, approval of appointments to the Public Tree Advisory Commission.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. The City of Goleta recently recruited for and received applications from citizens who are interested in serving on the Public Tree Advisory Commission. The commission is a 5-member body with responsibility in part to provide advice to staff and the City Council in developing plans and goals for the Goleta Urban Forest and represents the interests of the community and inform the community of the Urban Forest Program as directed by the City Council. The commissioners will be compensated $50 per meeting, which is consistent with the compensation for the Public Engagement Commission and the Parks and Recreation Commission. Requests for applications were published in the local adjudicated paper, the city's Monarch Press newsletter, the city's Brown Act Board on Channel 19, and the Goleta Valley Branch Library, including the Goleta Valley Community Center and at various locations throughout the city. Following this outreach, Mayor Pro Tempore Kasdan and Councilmember Aceves reviewed candidate applications and are seeking confirmation of the following individuals. Mayor Pro Tempore Kasdan has chosen to appoint Karen Lovelace, and Councilmember Aceves has chosen to appoint Alfred Smith. The purpose of this agenda item is to provide the opportunity for Council to approve the appointments. Ms. Lovelace and Mr. Smith are available in the audience as well.
Thank you for that. I'm wondering if we should have them come up and say a few words if they'd like to. We'll start with Karen. Karen Lovelace. Don't mean to put you on the spot, but.
Well, I didn't prepare anything, but thank you all for your service. I know it's challenging, a lot of hard work, a lot of time you put in. So this is not much compared to what you do for our city, but I just want to let you know that I look forward to working with PTAC, and I have some experience having been on the Design Review Board and the Street Trees Subcommittee, so that goes pretty far back, but I look forward to it. I have great interest in this, so hopefully we'll get started, get back again. I know we haven't had a meeting in quite a while, but hopefully there'll be one soon, and I'll get to see what everybody's been up to. So thank you again.
Thank you so much. Okay, Alfred Smith.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Roger, for the opportunity. And I don't have that kind of background in tree management. I'm hoping the skills I bring to the commission will be helpful. I have watched a couple of the videos, the one from last August, and just recently the one from last November. There's some really interesting problems that they're trying to deal with. And I have been involved in strategic plans and management plans. So I'm hopeful that my contribution will be positive. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Aceves?
Yeah, I just want to say a few words about my appointee. I should note that this is only my second appointee since I've been on the council. And so I took a lot of time looking at the applications. And you may remember, Mr. Smith, he applied for the Public Engagement Commission. So he's been before us before. So he's had interest in our city. When I interviewed him, I said, are you sure you want to work for $50? And we kind of laughed about that. But his background, the one that really struck out most important to me was his area in risk management and risk assessment. And I think as we move forward with the Tree Commission, I think that's going to be a very valuable resource, and I look forward to your input. So thank you for accepting the $50 month job, or $50 meeting job.
I thought it was free, so that's a raise.
oh, there we go. Okay, I'm looking for a motion.
I would move that the appointees forward.
Okay. Second.
All right, any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you both very much.
Okay. Item B2, discussion of CDBG and Goleta City grant funding programs.
Ms. Dato, this is you.
All right, thank you. I don't know if I can speak after all that, but I'll give it my best shot here. At its meeting of December 19th, 2017, the City Council discussed recommendations from the Goleta City Grant Funding Review Committee, which included some changes to the Goleta City Grant and Community Development Block Grant, CDBG, programs. Council also considered possible establishment of review criteria or funding targets to assist in the evaluation process of the grant applications. The City Council approved some changes to the grant programs, including an increase in the maximum award of the Goleta City grants and an implementation of a minimum grant amount for the CDBG awards. However, no action was taken on potential evaluation criteria or the establishment of funding targets. Instead, Council asked staff to return with additional information on historic funding levels for various application categories. As requested, staff is providing information about grant funding, city grant funding allocated over the last several years, as well as CDBG funding information for capital projects. Council was interested in knowing how much funding had been allocated into each of the eight categories identified by staff and the corresponding percentages of funding in those categories. These categories are educational programs, the arts, including music, dance, theater, and fine arts, community events, services for low-income residents, including the homeless, services and programs for seniors, environmental, wildlife, and animal welfare programs, youth services and programs, and miscellaneous services and programs. Staff has provided a spreadsheet which provides data for these categories over the past 9 years, starting with fiscal year 2009-10 and going through fiscal year 17-18. For fiscal year 9-10 through fiscal year 13-14, total general fund monies allocated by the City Council into what was then the community grant program ranged from $10,000 to $20,000 a year. Beginning with fiscal year 14-15, the amount dedicated to the renamed Goleta City Grant Program ranged from a much higher $71,000 to $77,000 a year. Due to the large disparity in the funding levels, staff grouped the first 5 years and provided average percentages for those years, and then grouped the most recent 4 years and provided average percentages for those years. During the first five-year period, there was an emphasis on community events and services for low-income people. For the past 4 years, there has been a greater emphasis on youth programs and educational programs, with services for low-income people and seniors also receiving a significant share of funding. As shown in your attachment, comparing a $10,000 grant year to a $77,000 grant year produces somewhat misleading results in terms of percentages dedicated to each of those categories. Some council members also requested information about the CIP CDBG funding over the past several years. CDBG funding for capital projects typically represents 65% of the city's allocation, with the other 35% dedicated according to HUD maximums being 20% maximum spending on planning and administration of the program, and a 15% maximum of CDBG funds can be spent on public services. You will note there have been a few action plan amendments over the years to reallocate CDBG funding from one CIP project to another. Public Works is now working hard to minimize those reallocations going forward. Staff has again included copies of the evaluation forms provided to the City Council on December 19th, since that discussion was not concluded. The Grant Funding Review Committee has requested that Council consider establishing some evaluation criteria to assist in determining recommended grant recipients. Due to the increase in the number of applications received over time, the process of reviewing those applications has become exceedingly more difficult due to the sheer volume of applications received. The criteria are intended to prioritize applications under a point system that best reflects factors such as the extent to which the applicant's funding will serve the Goleta community. Finally, staff would like to provide an update on the fiscal year 2018-19 grant cycle, which was initiated following the December 19th meeting. Applications for the fiscal year 18-19 cycle were due on January 31st, and we received a total of 51 applications. Nine of those are for CDBG funding, and staff has not had yet time to organize those into the various categories, but I wanted to give you some preliminary numbers on that. And we're available for questions.
Thank you. Questions from council? Councilmember Bennett?
I wanted to thank you for the analysis, the beginning years and the later years. I think that really kind of puts some things in perspective, because otherwise it was difficult when I was trying to read through all that. And so I think that was very, very helpful. Interestingly, there's a couple that are kind of in bigger percentage differences, but there are also a number that are lined up pretty close with how we have done it nonetheless. And I think that speaks volumes with the citizen participation that we've had with the grant committees. So I found that rather pleasing. So I think that's really, really good. I'm still, the only issue that's outstanding for me, and I brought it up before and I'm bringing it up again today, is the issue of CDBG funding, because we've experienced over the years, there's people that want it, but they don't really understand the federal requirements of reporting and the ongoing issues that they have to maintain for that federal funding, because it comes with some pretty stringent strings attached. And I've always been concerned about that, because I think it's our responsibility to let people know that it's an entirely different kind of program than our city grant program, which is far less onerous. So it would seem that just maybe, and I'm just throwing that out here, that in the criteria level, if we established some criteria for CDBG, if you are involved in federal funding already, because most every organization that is already has staff associated or assigned the responsibility, and they understand and know the requirements they have to meet. So I think that would be helpful for people than to be awarded money and then find out that it really, quote unquote, wasn't worth it, and the effort they had to put forward and the time spent by their own staff or learning, and then it falls back on your shoulders, not anymore, but in the future, someone else who then has to do the follow-up to help them along so that they better understand and can deal with the circumstances that are required of them. So looking over everything, that was the only thing that I saw that I would still like to see some attention to, because I think it would be helpful overall to the community to understand that CDBG funding is just entirely different. And I know from talking with my colleagues in other communities, they often allocate the entire amount to one organization, or they split it up maybe in half between two organizations, as opposed to breaking it up into smaller increments for a bunch of different organizations. And as they've reiterated, it's clearly because of the requirements, the reporting requirements, the monitoring requirements, the following up, and so on. And if they don't do it, or they can't hardly do it, then it falls back on our staff, and it just takes time away for whoever that staff person is going to be to do other projects that they're going to be responsible for. So I'm trying to suggest that there's maybe a compromise here, that maybe on item number 10 on the CDBG application evaluation form, that might be where there would be an appropriate modification to make the inquiry, are you now processing federal funds? Are you, you know, dealing with it? So they understand that's part of what we're kind of looking for. That's just a suggestion.
Ms. Data, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, Councilmember Bennett, I think that's an excellent idea. And we can take that even further to add a specific question as part of the application itself to that effect. And I would say that we do interview all the CDBG applicants, or the committee does interview the CDBG applicants. So often that will come up in the discussion, and what is usually one of the questions that the committee asks. We don't do that because of the sheer volume of the other applicants, but to make sure that the applicant is familiar with the CDBG or HUD requirements. That is something we cover in the interviews typically, but I think it's an excellent idea to add it to the application itself as well as part of the criteria here. Thank you.
Councilmember Richards.
Well, I'll just say that I think that's a great idea too. I think it's important to use that as a way of evaluating the application. But I want to just make note, you had specifically pointed to item 10 on the, and this is on the CDBG application evaluation form in our packet. And I would say not to include that as part of the eligibility, which item 10 is, but under the criteria for how it's evaluated. Because I wouldn't want If they hadn't received any federal funding in the past to make them ineligible to get it through our program. But that, yeah, so more just that it would inform the committee and in their deliberations as to how, what their ability would be to process it. So, but I would support it under the criteria, but not the eligibility. I have a question, Ms. Dato, regarding the numbers. You just mentioned that we had 51 applications, 9 of which were for the CDBG. How does that compare? I don't. You probably don't have numbers from previous years offhand, but maybe even just from last year. I thought there were, was it 60 applications last year?
We had a total of 59. One of those was a capital request from the United Boys and Girls Club for a playground replacement. So in effect, we had kind of 58 regular applications. I believe 7 of those were CDBG applications.
Okay. And now this is under the new policy of the minimum or grant that we had established, is that correct?
That's correct.
And they were informed of what that was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And 9 has been typical in the past, too. It's kind of varied between 7 and 10, so.
Okay. So we're on par than what we usually would be. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Council Member Aceves.
The only question I have about the discussion on the CDBG is I don't want to see something here that someone can infer is a judging criteria that we're not going to get it because we haven't put in for it before. I think we need to do a better job as far as educating the applicants before they submit the applicant, maybe with a cover letter as to what the process is going to be for this type of a grant. All the nonprofits, they talk to each other. They all know how onerous the CDBG grant process is. And that's why even some of the big ones, they don't do it anymore because it costs them more money to participate than what they're getting out of it. So I certainly wouldn't want to see someone not apply. I'd want to see more first-time applications, but I think in order to do that, I think we should develop a cover letter that clearly explains how this grant is different from the community grant. And then let them make that decision as to whether they want to do it. And if they're a first-timer and they go through it and realize that it wasn't worth it, they won't be back again. But I think we owe it to them to educate them on how different the grant is to the community grants.
Ms. Dato, do you think with us having raised the minimum for the CDBG, it's going to encourage maybe, are you encouraging more people applying for CDBG because it's not worth, you know, all the paperwork for such small amounts? I mean, that's the issue that we have seen in the past. Are you seeing more? So it sounds like the same amount of number. Are they the same applications, or are there any different ones in there?
You know, I think a couple of them were former CDBG applicants that we had seen several years ago, and were a couple of the agencies that had complained that it really wasn't worthwhile for them to get a $3,000 CDBG award. So we saw a couple of those agencies come back into the mix that hadn't been there for several years. I think one of them is Transition House.
Okay. Well, I'm all in favor of, you know, as much information we can give them as possible is a good idea. And so I would support the ideas that have been suggested. Are you looking for... seeing no more questions, are you looking for a motion to, are we directing you to implement the evaluation criteria that's on these drafts? Is that what you're looking for today?
I think that's what the Grant Funding Review Committee is looking for.
Yeah.
That they could use these evaluation forms going forward.
Okay.
I would so move.
Did you have a question?
I'll second that. Okay. I have part. Yeah, I have more to say during deliberation.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead, right ahead. We have a first and second, yeah. But make your comments.
Okay. I just wanted to make note. I had a conversation with Ms. Dato, and I just wanted to clarify that regarding the previous discussion last time about nonprofits, I had brought up the point about whether or not it specified the application, whether they needed to be 501c3 or
right.
Some other types of nonprofit, because there are other types of nonprofits. And she clarified for me that the application deleted the 501c3, so it just said nonprofit. So anyway, I would just make sure that we note that the evaluation form that we're using is amended to strike that as well, so that as long as they're a nonprofit of some sort, that would be appropriate. With that change, and with the change that Councilmember Bennett mentioned earlier, to add that criteria to the CDB evaluation form, I would support the criteria that are here.
More discussion?
I'm just wondering if the application couldn't also include our logo on it, so they can see it's us instead of just reading the top.
The application itself does include the city's logo. These are internal forms for the committee, but we can certainly add the logo to these as well.
Okay, I'd like to see the logo on it.
Sure.
Okay, any more discussion? Okay, then I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Ayes have it. Thank you.
Excuse me. Actually, there was one other issue. May I bring up? We had discussed previously the issue of quotas or targets. I think that was the purpose of looking at the past history. So we didn't discuss that this time. But
no, but my understanding is that the it was going to go back to the committee to discuss that further. Am I correct on that?
I think that was the general discussion last time, is that it was going to take some time to kind of maybe flesh out potential targets. Yeah. And I know that I think there were other council members that didn't like the idea of establishing targets, that it may be varied from year to year due to the makeup of the committee itself and the community members that were on the committee.
Correct.
And that was maybe a good thing.
And at last year, not knowing what the committee would be made up of this year, that's why that was decided.
Okay, well, what I wanted to say was that I appreciated the request that Councilmember Bennett had for this information and staff's time in developing it. And for me, this is a pretty convincing argument for why they're not needed, because it seems that we already do a good job, and here's some good evidence that we are pretty consistent from year to year. Obviously, it varies, and I think that's good. I don't think that we should be tied to any particular, amounts or percentages, as long as we are serving the different categories, which it seems to be to some varying degree. So, and also, I think when we discussed targets, they would be non-binding anyway. So, I think if we look at what we're trying to get to, I think that this would be a useful tool, that the committee should have this information when they review the application, so that this is on their mind, that it's part of our discussion, and when we approve the grants later in the spring, that we look at this again so we can compare how we're doing versus the history of it. But I agree that I don't think that a target would be necessary.
Great. Thank you for that. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving right along here.
Item B3, City of Goleta Legislative Platform for calendar year 2018.
Thank you. Okay. Ms. Kushnoff, that's you. And Ms. Nichols, too, I believe, helped with this. Yeah.
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor and members of the council. I am very pleased to finally bring this item back to you. As you may recall, we generally provide this information to you in December of each year, and because of the fire and then the mudslide and me being pulled away to work on those two incidents, I was not able to get the staff report and committee's input back together to provide it earlier. So as you know, each year we do provide this. This is the city's document that allows us to advocate for or against items that are of importance to the city. It was established in 2010, and each year the Ad Hoc Legislative Committee reviews the document, as well as department directors. And this year we have a lobbyist that we've hired, and she helped provide input on that as well. So during 2017, a total of 2,550 bills were introduced, and about a third of those were enacted. The city sent 24 letters and other forms of advocacy, did other forms of advocacy, such as meetings and phone calls to elected officials based on last year's platform. I had the opportunity to take over the legislative advocacy responsibility late this year, August, September. And so I'll be tracking that and be able to provide a comprehensive report for you next year as well. So I just wanted to highlight a few things. We did make some changes to the platform this year with the support of the committee to add the overarching principles opposing any legislation that takes away local control and any legislation that creates unfunded mandates. This was a principle that we found throughout the platform, and we wanted to streamline to make it easier, a document that's easier to use in the course of the year. We also reorganized the document to better reflect the categories under which the items fall, and we consolidated several items to streamline the platform. And this is an effort we'd like to continue to do throughout the year and then also next year, just to make it achieve the overarching principles, but to make it a little less not as lengthy. When I spoke to our lobbyist, she said, this is one of the longest legislative platforms I've ever seen. And I found that a little bit amusing. And as someone that likes to be brief, I would like to get to work on that this year with council support. So I am open to any questions. And I know a couple of council members have some suggested changes that we'll be happy to hear about. Thank you.
Are we going to do a page turn, or how would you like to, how would you like to do this?
Well, I'm aware of four total changes that were requested by council members.
Okay.
So if the two of you that have made Ms. Green aware of those would like to provide those, and then if the other two want to give their input, that would be great.
Councilmember Bennett?
Yeah, I actually have no proposed changes, so I just wanted to make that comment, number one. And number two, after having plowed through this thing, I agree with the proposed changes, and I find it provides more consistency. And often, because we rely upon the League of Cities, putting that kind of language in here makes it simpler, if there's such a thing. So I'm just really pleased. So I'll let my colleagues speak to any changes they may choose.
Thank you. Councilmember Richards?
Well, I was one of the people who had a few changes, so I will mention those now. There was one deletion and two additions that I'd like to suggest. On page 16 of the staff report, this is on the clean draft of the legislative platform, page 16. Big page. Yeah, mine only has the big page on that. So, yeah. The items 4 and 5 seem to be contradictory. Number 4 says support legislation that reduces local reliance on gas tax revenues for roads and street improvements. And then number 5 says support the protection of dedicated transportation-related tax revenues and funding for transit operations and maintenance. So I'd actually like to propose striking number 4 because it seems that we'd be interested in preserving the transportation-related tax revenues, especially for SB1, which we are benefiting from, I think, to the tune of the estimate I last heard was $7 million over 10 years. So I'd like to make sure that that's preserved, and I know that there will be, we are expecting a tax on that and a repeal effort. So I'd like to make sure that we, you know, would oppose any effort to take that away. So that's why I'm just suggesting, you know, that maybe we don't need number 4 unless there was some other reason to keep it. Should we go through item by item?
Well, should I mention the other two?
I prefer to just deal with one at a time.
I think we should, because my Councilmember Bennett had his light on right after you started speaking, so maybe he has some information that can help us on this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I sit on the League of Cities Revenue Tax Committee, and one of the items that it, ironically was brought up at this last meeting a few weeks ago is the state relied upon local government providing funds that had traditionally been provided by the state. And so the local stakeholders were wanting to emphasize that they felt the over the years, the state's been taking advantage of that and hasn't been providing the necessary state funding. So the reason that item four, I believe, is here, at least the way I interpreted it, was to have less reliance on local funding appropriately, and that we would have more emphasis on the state funding, which is their responsibility, because I know there's more now than there was, but we were one of 20 counties in the state that's referred to as a self-help county because we taxed ourselves additional sales tax monies to take care of roads and things because of the cutbacks and the lack of providing additional state funding. So that's the rationale that I believe is this. It's not to take away any money locally. It's that the state recognized their responsibility, and that's where we should be getting back to where we were, that the state used to fund, as opposed to relying on us.
Madam Mayor, may I respond?
Yes, please.
I appreciate that clarification. And in that case, I'd like to suggest an edit to this number four instead of the removal of it. I think that we can improve the clarity of it, because that's not what I understood it to mean. So I'm glad you could clarify that. So I would like to suggest that it say that we say support legislation that reduces reliance on local tax revenues for roads and street improvements. Would that be acceptable?
Sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I think that would be clearer, and it wouldn't cloud the issue then.
I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Did you have any
other ones? May I go on?
Yes, absolutely.
I had two others on big page 18. Number 10, support legislation that enhances the public power options available to local governments. I'd just like to add the corollary to that, which would be, and oppose legislation that reduces the public power options available to local governments. So this just says support legislation that enhances, and I just want to make it clear that we also oppose legislation that would take that away, because, we are aware that, especially with regard to the community choice energy programs, mm-hmm. that there are legislative and regulatory hurdles that are being proposed that may make the creation of community choice energy programs more difficult. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'd like to add that we would oppose legislation that would reduce the public power options available to local governments.
And where could you say how you would like to reword that again one more time, please? Support legislation that enhances.
So it already says support legislation mm-hmm. that enhances it. So just keep what's there and then add and oppose legislation that reduces the public power options available to local governments.
Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
Okay. Do I have concurrence?
Okay.
Councilmember Seves, are you okay with that?
I don't have a problem with it.
Okay.
Okay.
And then one third item, which is on page 23, and this is under the public safety area. And I'd like to add one at the end. And this is with regard to the cannabis and the legalization of marijuana. And mm-hmm. One of the issues that I've been made aware of is the difficulty in public law enforcement to monitor or to regulate DUIs and drivers that are under the influence of marijuana, because there isn't really a state, there's no standard that currently exists. And I've heard that the state may be interested in creating a standard, and this is a standard of impairment. So when you get pulled over, there would be a test, similar to blood alcohol level, which we have. So mm-hmm. there is an objective way of measuring how much you have in your system and how, impaired you would be with that. And we don't currently have a standard, and so I would, I think that we should support. I think it would help our local law enforcement if there were a state standard that was, proposed. So I would suggest that we would support that if that is something that the state is looking into. So the language that I would propose would be to support legislation to develop processes and standards for evaluating impairment due to cannabis influence for drivers. And that would be the proposed language.
Okay. Councilmember Bennett.
I have no problem with the proposed language, but I would just like to let you know that in Prop 64, it mandates, it said X number of bucks, but I forget, I think it's in the millions of dollars, that they have charged that the university shall do a study in cooperation with the CHP to do just exactly what you said. So it's already covered in the proposition. So I'm going to guess that they won't be introducing any legislation to expand on that. I mean, I could be wrong, and I don't think there's anything here that would, you know, deny us the responsibility to support that, because I certainly support that. But it is covered in the proposition that was voted on by the people.
Okay.
Councilmember Seves?
I don't see the need for this particular item at this point. When you're talking about driver impairment, there are a lot of other factors that come into play. It could be prescribed medication. It could be misuse of prescribed medication. So there aren't standards across the board. And especially for marijuana now, there are already laws in place where you can't smoke in the car. This is a bigger issue that the state hasn't even attacked yet. So I don't think it makes any sense putting it in our platform at this point.
Well, if Councilmember Bennett is saying that it's already in Prop 64, I'm pretty comfortable with that right at this moment. Okay. Will there be the possibility of legislation coming forward with that we may want to support? I don't know.
Well, as I said, I don't have a problem. I don't have a problem in the language. I think the language is doing what we all want it to do that you're proposing, and I think that, from my perspective, that's fine. But I just wanted to emphasize it is covered and there's money allocated for that purpose and that process. I don't know if it's underway yet or since the proposition's a year old, but we know the state struggled to just the implementing side of this, so I don't know if they've kicked it off on the research side yet or not, but the research is called out, so, you know.
But it would, if we put it in our platform, it would help us show support for that moving forward, and if there was any letters.
So, I don't have a problem with that.
Think of it. So I would support the language.
I think it would be beneficial to have a standard. I think, you know, to say that there are other prescription drugs that don't have standards isn't necessarily a reason to say why we shouldn't have a standard in this area. Obviously, it's going to create a problem, and this would help our, you know, police force to be able to enforce it better and to have an objective standard over which to evaluate it.
Right. So. Okay. I support leaving it in then as proposed. Was there anything else?
The only other, I did have quite a few just grammar and spelling corrections, but I don't necessarily want to go through all of them. Is it okay if I just share them with Valerie and have those changes be made?
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Just for council's information, she already has the information we shared with her yesterday.
All right,
yesterday.
I just wanted to make sure I hadn't heard anything mentioned about that.
And she's going to make those corrections accordingly.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other? I have a proposed addition, so I don't know. I've realized it would take place on page 21, and it would go on, I guess it would be number 5 under B, oil and gas cleanup. Oppose any new oil drilling or well leases off the coast of California, which is being proposed by our current president, and that could happen. So, and I think we even sent a letter opposing it, but it really isn't in our platform. It doesn't spell it out clearly enough in our platform. So, with the help of Valerie Kirshenoff, the wording would say, oppose any new oil drilling or well leases off the coast of California. And that could be, I guess, number 5.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'll support that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Are there any other changes or anything else? I personally just want to say thank you Valerie, thank you, Carmen, thank you, Mr. Jenkins, thank you, you know, for our lobbyists, and I mean, and all the staff. A lot of people had eyes on this, and I feel really lucky that we have a lot of people looking at this, and I agree that maybe next year we could condense it. If our lobbyist is telling us this is the largest one she's ever seen, I think we may want to revisit that.
Do we need a motion? Or?
Yes.
Okay. I'll move to amend it as we discussed.
Okay.
The motion to adopt the resolution.
And adopt the resolution. Number 18, next in order, entitled a resolution of the City Council of the City of Goleta, California, establishing the City of Goleta legislative platform for the calendar year 2018, as amended.
As amended.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Opposed? Ayes have it. Thank you. This is the quickest we've ever done this, I think.
Well, thank you for your feedback, and I would like to apologize for the grammatical errors. When I made a one-word change from measures to legislation, I didn't make the appropriate change to follow, and I hate when my work product reflects that. So thank you for your understanding.
Thank you.
You'll pay us back by bringing a smaller document next week.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. I guess that brings us to council comments. What time is it? 2:31? Oh my gosh. This is pretty good. Okay, so we're going to go through council comments. I'm going to start with Councilmember Seves, if you're ready.
Not quite.
Okay, well then.
I'm ready.
Okay, Councilmember Bennett, go for it.
I only have one.
Okay. That's right, you were on vacation.
I was on vacation for 2 weeks and got back Saturday evening. But in the course of that vacation, I did take a day off and drove to the city of Orange from my vacation spot, Palm Springs, so that I could attend the LOSAN meeting, which was very important because one of the major items for our community, of course, is the retiming of the Surfliner so that we can meet the peak hour demand in the morning. And so we got an updated report, and we have a couple things pending. We've got everything all squared away with Union Pacific Railroad, which was huge. That's all done. And that was one of the concerns that a lot of folks had. Well, that's finished. We've been asking Amtrak, who has promised by this Friday, they will provide the information on what it's going to cost to time the chain coming out of Union Station. There's a cost associated with that. We know that up front, and we've got the money in Measure A to assist with that. So. But we can't do that until they tell us so that we can act on the recommendation and the request for the money that can then be recommended through our sub-regional and then on to the board of SBCAG. So in any case, that's really only issue at this point that we have to really concern ourselves with. So everything's moving ahead, as I indicated at the last council meeting, and it's just a matter of buttoning up some of these procedural and management issues that we need to get a signature on. Mm-hmm. So that's it. That's my report.
Thank you. Okay, Councilmember Seves.
Just briefly, I sat in for Councilmember Bennett at the SBCAG meeting on the 18th, also APCD. And I did that remotely because they're up in Santa Maria, but I didn't go up there because we did the Decker's ribbon cutting in the afternoon. Really well attended. Trying to remember, they have 1,100 solar panels on their building. And it's the largest solar panel installation, obviously, in the city. And our hope was that other businesses will follow their lead and do the same as they find ways of energy efficiency. The chamber annual meeting is on the 24th, and then on the 25th, I went to the Boys Club annual meeting at the Santa Barbara Club, where we gave membership cards to those members that attended more than 200 days for the year, and there must have been 50 kids. So it was impressive. It was impressive that the kids were there at 7 in the morning. And then, of course, they went right to school from there. So that was very impressive. Michael Baker did a wonderful job putting that together.
In fact, I talked to him this morning at Chamber Breakfast, and he's got to find a bigger room next year. So we're looking forward to next year. This morning at the Chamber Breakfast, Ken Epperson from Traffic Solutions over there announcing that the commuter rail will start April 1st. And the crowd is very excited about the fact that they're going to find a new way to get up from Ventura. And the comments were made that people kind of got used to it now, getting up from the floods, that they got comfortable with the train. But hopefully it won't be as crowded as it was. It'll be a little comfortable ride with the Wi-Fi in place, and we can accommodate our Goleta businesses and taking that commuter rail. So I understand it's April 1st. Councilmember Bennett,
actually,
is that?
April 2nd.
April 2nd. Okay. That's my report.
Councilmember Bennett.
I failed to mention that at the point that Councilmember Becevis was attending the SBCAG meeting, that my name was put into nomination for the permanent member on the Losan Board of Directors. So that was done, and I was voted in as the permanent member. And Jason Dominguez from the City of Santa Barbara is the alternate. So I'd make mention of that.
Congratulations.
I voted for it.
Councilmember Richards.
All right. Well, I had to go back. I guess it's been a few weeks since we've met, and a lot of things that were canceled had been postponed, so I have a few things to report. On January 18th, I attended a Decker's ribbon cutting for a new solar array, which was established and installed on the rooftop of their facility here in Goleta, so that was exciting. On the 19th of January, I attended a retirement party for Luann Miller from the Ivy Youth Projects. After, I'm not sure, something like 33 years of service, so that was exciting and sad event to be at, but great for her on her next endeavor. On the 20th, I marched downtown at the Women's March in Santa Barbara with many other engaged residents of the area. On the 21st of January, I attended a Friends of the Goleta Valley annual meeting, and they had a talk and gave a report, and that was good to be there. And on the 23rd, I attended, we had a community meeting to discuss the bike path, Class 1 bike path out along Hollister Avenue. So we heard a report. There was some education about the use of the path and some feedback from residents. So that was good to be at that. Unfortunately, I was not able to attend the Goleta Valley Community Center meeting was rescheduled, and it was rescheduled to a time that I was not able to attend, so I don't have a report from that this month. On the 31st of January, I attended downtown the Clean Energy Community Meeting, and this was a meeting that the City of Goleta is participating in with the County of Santa Barbara and the City of Santa Barbara and the City of Carpinteria. There were a few things that were discussed, but mainly it was to discuss the energy consultant that the county is hiring that we're also participating in to look at the Southern California Edison upcoming request for offers to look at projects that would be in this area with regard to increased power generation through solar or other distributed energy or through reduced or increased efficiency or reduced demand. And then in addition to that, they also discussed the potential community choice energy program and the follow-up to the study that was done last year. So they're, as you know, they're doing a follow-up study, and we're a part of that as well. So they gave an update on that, and we'll have more to share later. And then on February 2nd, I attended the Channel Cities Division of the League of Cities dinner and meeting in Thousand Oaks. And before that, they also had a meeting that was through the LA Community Choice Energy Program. So Mayor Prodi and myself and some representatives from Santa Barbara City and Carpinteria just went to hear and get more information about the potential of joining the LA County Community Choice Energy Program. And that's my report.
Okay, well, I'll be quick here. On January the 17th, I met with Supervisor Wolf and several county staff members with Michelle Green and Peter Imhoff and Ann Wells regarding the mud dumping at Goleta Beach and having better communication with the county, having them kind of emphasize the importance of all of us sharing information with a common voice, and to do that, we need to have the information. So that was what we left with. So I felt like that meeting was a good call. I'm glad we had it, and that was Supervisor Wolf decided to call that meeting, and that was a good idea. On the 19th, I presented Lou Ann Miller with a certificate of recognition for her 33 years at the Isla Vista Youth Project. And it was a happy occasion. It was sad. And Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan was there as well. And the gentleman that got up and spoke, I think, before me had tears in his eyes. And Mayor Pro Tem Kasdan looked at me and said, "Just think happy thoughts, Paula. Just think of dolphins. She's going to be swimming with the dolphins," because he was very worried that I would start crying. I did not cry. So that was good. I thought about dolphins and her enjoyment and what she's going to be doing in her retirement years. I also attended the library, a Friends of the Goleta Library, on the 21st and the 23rd, the Hollister Class 1 Bike Path at Elwood School. Also the Boys and Girls Club recognition on the 25th. On the 30th, we had a meeting here to discuss the state of the city, and we have some dates. The Bacara State of the City will be April the 6th, and the Goleta Valley at Bacara, and then we will have a community State of the City at Goleta Valley Community Center on April 10th. So we're talking about the program moving forward. I also had an MTD board meeting where we discussed how MTD just really stepped up during the disaster, and with they were called out the morning of the 9th to assist with the evacuation, and they had 4 40-foot buses pick up evacuees at parking lots and transport them over to the shelter at the City College. They worked getting people to airports. They just did that from the 9th through the 13th, and they also implemented what they called the emergency first last mile service. So they were providing bus service from both Santa Barbara Amtrak and Goleta Amtrak, and I'm just really proud that I'm on that board, and they really did a fantastic job helping out. On the 31st, I went to the Goleta Chamber Roundtable, where the discussion was on the Thomas Fire and the mud slide or mud flow, business recovery, economic recovery, and I'm glad I went to hear what's being said and what's being done to hopefully, because our businesses suffered a loss as well during the fire and during the Montecito situation. And then I too attended the February 2nd Channel County's League of Cities Channel Division in Thousand Oaks. There wasn't that many people there, and I think it was because, I mean, it was okay, but it was a lot of people missing, and I think it's because the date had to be changed. So, and that's it for my report. City Manager Michelle Green.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Last week, the Deputy City Manager, Carmen Nichols, and I went to the League of California Cities annual City Managers Department meeting, which is basically a three-day conference where they keep you very busy in a lot of very in-depth sessions. We learned a lot, and I did send all of you information on a league survey and analysis and report on the CalPERS pension system. There will be more information coming up later this month about that, and encourage the public to also get involved looking into that report as well. It's on the league's website. The other thing I wanted to note, as I always do, we will not be open to the public on President's Day, Monday, February 19th. So we'll be closed here at City Hall, and we'll have our next council meeting the very next day. So we'll try and get the information on that packet out to council to the public as quickly as we can, since we'll be closed that Monday. And that's all I have.
All right. Mike Jenkins.
Mayor, I have no report aside from that council will now be recessing into a closed session to address
City of Goleta versus Cohen, the item listed on your closed session agenda. And as I indicated at the outset of the meeting, the other two items were handled yesterday and will not be taken up today.
Okay. Do we have any speaker slips?
I have no speaker slips.
Okay, then we will recess to closed session.